So hello again to our podcast, Black and White Movie Critics.
Hi guys.
And as always, me, Sunyan, and
me, Michael, of course,
welcome you to another episode. And yeah, how are you doing today on this beautiful day?
I'm doing very fine. I mean, the weather is good, the sun is shining, and school comes to an end. Like, it's the perfect conditions. How about you?
Yeah, definitely same feelings here. I mean, the weather has been beautiful the last few days, and finally a long year, long school year comes to an end.
I agree with you with that.
And we can finally rest a bit.
So, Simon, what are we going to talk about in this episode?
Well, yeah, today we will talk about the movie Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, that's a great one. I'm very excited to talk about it.
Yeah, it's a really nice movie. And to give a short overview about the plot of the movie, it's about the Blade Runner K, who researches a conspiracy. And yeah, that's not to give away too much. And for those who didn't watch the movie, there will be a few spoilers here.
I would really recommend you to not listen to this podcast if you haven't watched the movie already. But if you watch it and really care about our opinion, I would just like you to stay on and just listen to our podcast. So basically, just some side facts is that the movie came out on the 5th October 2017, produced by Denis Villeneuve, and it's... Sanya, do we know about how the media welcomed this movie?
Well, it's a really interesting point. I mean, the movie was really praised by the media and critics and stuff, but it actually didn't gross that much money.
Yes, it had a very, very rough start. I mean, Blade Runner 2049 is a sequel to the first Blade Runner, and if you look at the income with 276 million, I mean, compared to the first one, it's... There was a kind of gap between them.
Probably was a letdown for the producers. I mean, the first movie, it's really iconic. Like, it was released around the 80s.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, something like that in that timeline.
Yeah, and it was a really iconic movie back then. So the genres of the movie, like you could say, it's definitely a science fiction movie and an action movie.
Yeah, what I would say about the genre is that we should really divide between light and dark science fiction. An example is, I mean, if you look at Star Wars, it's also a very modern timeline, but it's a very heroic and typical ending for a science fiction movie. But if you take a look at Blade Runner in 2049, do you see the difference between them, or is it just me?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Star Wars, if you compare it to Blade Runner, it's very soft.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Blade Runner is more rough. Like, I think that's a good word to describe it. Like, it's very rough.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. So, if we would talk about the story, about the building, how the characters are, how would you describe it to the people that doesn't have any clue about Blade Runner?
Well, the movie story world definitely has an amazing atmosphere, which is created through the outstanding soundtrack by... Hans Zimmer, right?
Yes, that was his name. I also agree with you on the soundtracks that has a very impact on the atmosphere that is given in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, Hans Zimmer, definitely one of the most iconic soundtrack creators out there.
Yes, very well known for that.
German quality.
Yes.
I mean, the story world, I mean, it's just like a really depressing, pressuring urban environment.
Yeah, I'll truly agree with you on that. I mean... Just how they work with the light, it's just very dark. And you already mentioned the urban, like the people, their facial expressions. It's just like they're...
It's depressing.
Depressing is good to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, just also there's like no nature anywhere.
No green. Basically, the entire film, there is no green to see.
Yeah, just... urban environment everywhere, and like nuclear wastelands and stuff. I mean, the film plays in America and Las Vegas, basically it's the entire nuclear wasteland.
I think one of the very first scene is like where we could see a farm. It wasn't very green, it was gray.
Yeah.
But there was only one tree, but it was already dead.
Yeah.
That shows again how dead the nature is. Like, there is no nature. It's just high-tech and all this modern stuff.
Yeah, like, one character in the movie even says, like, she never saw a tree before.
Yeah, you see how surprising that is.
Yeah. To keep on with our podcast, the next point, we already discussed it a bit. I mean, the dystopian elements, yes, of the movie.
And we should just slide into it. Another very interesting fact to mention about the dystopian elements is also that they are replicants, and that they are human hunting down replicants. I mean, replicants are invention found by us humans, and it's very crazy to see how it comes to big of a change. Are they like starting to hunt them down? It's,
yeah. So for those who don't know, these replicants, they are genetically engineered like humans, like completely, like with no parents, and they basically serve as slaves for the humans in this universe.
Yes, and those one who are not ready to pleasure the wishes of us humans are really going to die. It's just, yeah, like that.
And the only purpose is to serve us, basically, which is a very dystopian factor.
And you can just see how big the gap is between the human and the replicants, and the segregation that is going on there. It's,
yeah, they're getting called, I think, like Skinners.
Skinner, it's a...
like a racial slur.
Yeah, if you look at the word, it's yeah, racial slur.
And also like the is controlled by big corporations in the movie.
Yes, Wallace, I think it was called.
Yeah, the big corporation in the movie is Wallace Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
They basically create these replicants, or like the owner of it. And like this,
okay, I think before we're going to talk about the owner, I think we should just switch to or jump to the main character. Would you like to talk about him before we go on to the
the
leader of Wallace?
Yeah, we can talk about Kay if you want to.
Yes, I really like to have a chat about Kay.
Yeah, what would you say?
Kay, as you know, is the main character. In the very first scene, you see that... that Kay has a personal relationship with a robot. What was the name again?
Well, it was Joy. It's,
yeah, exactly.
It's an AI.
It was a Joy. It was an AI. But you can see that they have a very personal relationship going on. I mean, they are trying to touch each other, but it's not possible because she's just a...
she's just a hologram, yeah.
Yeah, she's just a hologram, exactly. But he's making a gift. She's welcoming him every time.
Yeah, and but, like, the thing about her is like she's not real. She only says the things he wants to hear.
Yeah, it's a Joy. It's a very well programmed, but it looks like to us viewers that Kay is very human like. His behavior towards to Joy is like,
yeah,
It's like love, his expressions, how he expresses to Joy. And Kay is a Blade Runner, like we know. He's also a replicant. So he's fighting against his own species. And like it's a very crazy fact about Kay, how he's just a robot and he's just there to do his job and it's nothing other.
Yeah, again, for those who didn't watch the movie, Blade Runner basically is... also a replicant who's been created to hunt down other older replicants that aren't obeying and hiding, and he's there to kill them, which is really cruel, obviously.
Yeah, but at the end, was Kay, throughout the entire movie, didn't Kay change a bit? What do you say about it?
Well, he changed a lot. Like, he's a very dynamic character throughout the movie. You know, at first, like, he's like a robot and just doing what he's tasked with.
Yes. Well, if you look at the test he took, and also one of the very first scenes to check if he is concentrated on his job and does not have other feelings is also very.
There are these two scenes where he gets tested in the police office. They are very symbolic for his change.
Yes.
Like, at first, like, he obeys, and, like, this check is completed, and he
it's just very robotic, like...
Yeah. And then later on in the movie, he fails the test, and like he starts to create a more like his own will, and
becomes
more human.
You see, it's also very, very crazy and interesting and astonishing to see how they're creating their own will, and they were just replicants. And I think what was very changing for Kay is that he thought that he was a child that was born by a replicant on a normal way, which is not possible.
Yeah, in the movie world, that's not possible. I mean, basically the main plot of the movie is that a replicant woman gave birth to a child, which shouldn't be possible, and like he's tasked with hunting down that child and killing it by his lieutenant. Kay's basically a police officer.
Yeah, okay. It's cool. Okay, there was also another character I would really love to mention. Her name, I think, was Love. Love, yeah. I think we could all agree that Love was the main antagonist in this film.
Yeah, she definitely is. Like, she has a big presence in the movie. And like she's really menacing. Like,
it was very I had a very pressuring to look at her, to see how she acts and
just how powerful she is.
Just her behavior.
She's also a replicant, and she's a very powerful one indeed. And I mean, there's a scene like in the police office where she tries to steal the bones.
Yeah, I remember that scene.
Of the dead mother.
Yeah, I remember that scene where a police officer came into the room and said to her that she couldn't take the bones with her, and I don't know what she did. Did she just punch him in the back? And
it looked like she just touched his back, and then his whole body crumbled and he died on the spot.
Out of nothing, you could see all the blood flooding out of his body, out of his eyes. A
really graphic
one
scene.
One of the most disturbing scenes in the film.
Yeah.
And also another scene is where she just kills people to protect Kay, but not on a personal feeling, but it's just for the job. She just killed many humans just for a job. And it was nothing like personal reasons why she protected Kay.
Yeah, she only protected him because she wanted him to find a child. You know, because that was what he was tasked with.
The child of the mother we talked about in the beginning. Yes, it was the child, exactly. Yeah.
And she like killed those people while getting her nails done, like through an airstrike.
Yeah,
through
drone, exactly. That also shows how powerful she is. And she is very aware of her position she is in.
Yeah, but she also seems very soulless. Like, she has no real emotions.
Yeah, she's so cold.
Yeah, definitely.
So, do we know something about the child that was given birth to?
Well, before we talk about that, maybe we talk about the creator.
Yes, of course. I forgot.
Nyando Wallace.
Yes, Wallace.
Love works for him as well.
Yes, Wallace was the company leader of the replicants. Was it like that?
Well, he owns the company.
The founder.
Creates, the replicants, and he basically is the creator of it. Yeah.
Exactly, Wallace was the creator and founder of the replicants. And do you also agree with me that his appearance, the appearance of Wallace, is very, very menacing, and he just looked like a very dark person.
Well, yeah, he was a very mystical person, definitely. I mean, just look in his eyes, like his white,
just all white eyes.
Yeah, he's blind.
Yes.
And the way he talks the entire time, and like, it's just so weird.
I think we could all agree on the fact that he has a god complex. I mean, he creates replicants and calls them angels.
Yeah.
And you could see how he behaves, like he's putting himself on like a very high position.
Yeah, well, I mean, he has the right to do it. I mean, he basically creates new life. But he's really weird. And like, he only is in his big corporation building, never leaves it. Yeah, and you never see him outside of these buildings. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Jumping right back to the child. Do we know something about the child?
Yeah. Well, she's called Anna Sterling. She's that magical child by the replicant replicant mother.
Yeah, exactly. And she is the one who implanted the memories to Kay. Wasn't it something like that? That's why Kay changed so much?
Yeah, she basically, like, her job is to create memories,
yes,
for replicants, fake memories. That's what she does. And at first you think she's only a side character, which Kay visits to pursue his task.
Yes, I also thought that that such an important character has a more bigger role, more screen time, but
yeah,
that's, she was just shown for a couple of minutes and she's the child that, the wonder child is very surprising, but also has a big impact of the behavior of Kay.
Yeah, because like when Kay visits her, he asks her if his memories that he has, if they ever were lived by a real human being.
Yeah.
And she says that these memories were lived by someone real. Yeah. And therefore Kay thinks he's that special child.
Yeah, and the fact that she knows that those are her memories, but she's not mentioning it, also says something about her.
Yeah, definitely. I think she maybe was like too scared to say it. Like she bursted out in tears when she saw it.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, I would also like to mention the father of the child, Deckard, who was also present in the first Blade Runner.
Yeah, he's the main character of the first movie, and he got the he created the child with that replicant mother. Yeah, yes. I think her name was Rachel, actually.
Yeah, her name was Rachel, and Deckard also became a very important character throughout the film. I mean, like he fought it side on side together with Kay.
Yeah.
To defeat Love, who's obviously trying to kill Kay because Kay was not ready to fulfill his job.
Yeah, Kay was in the way of Love. Yeah.
Yeah, he
He was basically just in the way, but Kay went on to defeat Love and kill her also in a graphic way. I mean, drowning her like that. The screaming the entire time was also a powerful scene. Yeah.
Is that not also one of the biggest, if not the biggest plot twist we already talked about?
Yeah, I mean it's the main plot twist of the movie that Kay isn't the magical child. Okay. Like, because we and Kay through the entirety of the movie that he is that special child
because of
the memories.
Like he really tried to find his own path. He questioned himself, like, am I really the wonder child? And if he really has to find he was already seeking the truth by himself.
Yeah, and he thought he was that child.
Yeah, and it was something that the replicants aren't supposed to do. That is just so very surprising how strong they are developing themselves, and it's just not a...
And the big thing then for Kay was like to find out that he isn't that special. He's just only a small part of that big puzzle.
Yeah.
That the magical child is, you know, and it was really hard for Kay to get those news that he isn't that special child.
Yeah. So I think this episode is coming to an end, and I would also say, who would you recommend this movie to? I mean, what would you say?
Well, to everyone who basically wants to see a good movie.
Of course.
It's a really, really good movie.
Yeah.
Like, only towards the end you really find out the truth. But, you know, watching it the first time, it may be a bit difficult to understand.
Yes, I mean, like we already said, it's very different from other science fiction movies. I mean, if you're looking out for something dark, like in something that's going in another direction, I think Blade Runner 2049 is very the perfect film for you to start.
And as well, if you like the cyberpunk genre, you could fit it in there as well.
It's very fitting. So I think this was our podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to us.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add, Sonny?
Yeah, no, I had fun as always. Doing another episode with you. And I hope to see you guys on our next episode. Goodbye.
So, this was Black and White Film Critics by Michael and Sonny.